Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Everything is possible for one who believes.
Welcome to Faith Matters.
All right, it's time for our favorite time of the night.
It is. It is time for our favorite show of the night, and that was weird. I heard you in my headphones, even though you didn't say it, so you must be really good at throwing your voice. I heard you say in the headphones, all right, it's time for our favorite segment of the night, and it is. I don't know how you did that. That was incredible.
It is.
You're amazing. So tonight we're going to be delivered before destruction from, this is Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Great Disappearance. We've gone over some controversial things, but now we're talking about a religious thing here. Everybody's going to disappear.
Yep.
Well, not everybody.
Sounds pretty controversial.
Some of them are going to get left behind. Some of them are going to just float up into the air and meet Jesus in the sky. Well, that is our controversy for the night. Tonight, it's chapter 23 out of 31 ways to become rapture ready.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the rapture, the tribulation, and all these end time things. And here we are just about a few days from the eclipse, the great American eclipse of 2024. And some people are predicting devastation. Well, maybe we just need to continue studying Dr. David Jeremiah's books and thank him for his works. Make sure you buy his works anywhere books are available or any other medium that he sells. As well as we will utilize our right to the Fair Use Act. And we'll go over this material and comment on it, break it down, and deliver it to you. But we will be reading from chapter 23. So let's take a look at his first story here. This is Dr. David Jeremiah.
The American Embassy in Sudan is located in a well-fortified area just a stone's throw from the Blue Nile River on the western side of Khartoum. It's a relatively new complex of buildings, but it sits on a rough and violent city. As I was writing this chapter, a team of Special Operation Forces completed the difficult mission of evacuating the embassy. Chaos was descending on the city, and it was time to airlift the American diplomats to safety. There were about 100 people at the embassy, and it took less than an hour to get everyone out. The Navy SEALs Team 6 took part in the mission, which was cloaked in secrecy and executed in darkness.
Right.
The evacuation was fast and clean using two MH-47 Chinook helicopters.
Please.
American officials said that the deteriorating situation required the emergency evacuation because a storm of violence was heading toward the embassy's gates. All of us who know Christ are his ambassadors, his representatives in a deteriorating world.
Yep.
Just before the storm of the tribulation's violence hits the gates of the church, our great commander is literally going to airlift us to safety, rescuing us before the storm.
We've talked about that rescue often in these pages. It's the rapture. What you may be surprised to learn is that God has followed that pattern many times in history. Proverbs 11:8 says, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Psalm 144 says, part your heavens, Lord, and come down. Reach down your hand from on high, deliver me and rescue me. That's verses 5-7. While that's not a specific picture of the rapture, I can visualize the Lord's hand reaching down to snatch us up in deliverance just in the nick of time. The Apostle Paul referred to this aspect of Christ's character when he urged us to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Well, here's how this worked out for two families in the Old Testament and what it all means for believers today. By studying the ways God acted to rescue his people in the past, we can learn much that will add to our understanding about God's future rescue of his people at the time of the rapture. Let's look at one of those ways. The rescue of Noah. That was quite a family.
Yes. When speaking about his return in Luke 17, Jesus used two illustrations from the Old Testament, Noah and Lot. He said, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man." It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. That's in Revelation or Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. There's an interesting fact about the flood of Noah's day that's often overlooked. In the genealogies of Genesis 5, we see that Enoch was the father of Methuselah, who was the father of Lamech, who was the father of Noah. Methuselah lived longer than anyone else in history, 969 years. Mm-hmm. His father, who was Noah's grandfather, great-grandfather, Enoch, was a preacher of righteousness. As we saw earlier in this book, he preached about the return of Christ and was raptured before the flood, as in Jude 14. Bodie Hodge, an engineer and a student of Genesis, noticed something interesting about these two men. If you match up the ages of the patriarchs, Methuselah died the same year as the flood. Methuselah was raised by a godly parent, Enoch, who walked with God and pleased God so that God took him away without death. In fact, Methuselah may have actually helped Noah in the construction phase of the ark.
Whoa.
But his death preceded the flood.
Hmm.
Pause a minute and let that soak in. Yeah, that's interesting. Enoch was raptured before the flood. Methuselah died days before the flood. God delivered them both from the coming wrath. And together, they represent those who will be raptured and resurrected when Jesus comes in the sky for his people. And don't forget about Noah and his family. God also took them above the waters of the flood and rescued them from the storm of judgment that fell on the earth.
The rescue of Lot. Our Lord's other example was the family of Lot. In Genesis 19, two angels were sent by God to evacuate Lot and his family from the wicked city of Sodom, before the literal fires of judgment fell on that place. At dawn on that fateful day, the angels awoke Lot and his family and said, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters." The angels physically grabbed the hands of Lot's wife and daughters, dragging them from danger, for the Lord was merciful to them. Verses 15 and 16. As soon as this little family is rescued from Sodom, the God of righteousness sent down bolts of fire that consumed the city in judgment. Dr. W. A. Criswell, who was a constant student of biblical prophecy, said in a sermon on this subject, "Both of those men, Enoch and Lot, are very typical of God's people on this earth now. Enoch, glorious man who walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch was raptured. He was taken out before the judgment of the flood. Lot was taken out before the great judgment day of God came. All of God's people will be taken out before that awful day comes."
Mm-hmm.
He writes. That was Dr. W. A. Criswell. Of course, these weren't isolated incidents. God's rescue of Noah and Lot is in keeping with the way he has worked throughout history. He spared the Hebrews in Egypt from the plagues of wrath that fell over Pharaoh's empire. The final plague, who painted their doorsteps, their doorposts, with the blood of the Passover lamb. Ah, yes, let me reread that. I missed a line. The final plague, the death of the firstborn, came nowhere near the Jewish people, who painted their doorstops, their doorposts, with the blood of the Passover lamb. God made a way for them to escape. Mm-hmm. He always does. There's always a way to escape.
That's true.
Our same God brought the Israelite spies out of Jericho before the judgment fell on that city. He brought Daniel out of the lion's den before their mouths were opened and devoured their prey. Jesus made sure his disciples were out of the Garden of Gethsemane, terrified but safe. He himself was led away towards the cross. We worship a Savior who saves. God is faithful.
Right. So now we look at the rescue of the godly. Just as the family of Noah and the family of Lot were evacuated before the onslaught of judgment, so it will be with the family of the Lord. Mirroring the words of Jesus, Peter also talked about this in detail when he wrote, "If God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what was going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment." That's from 2 Peter 2, 5 through 9. The Lord knows how to rescue us from judgment. Of course he does. As Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in faith, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." 1 Timothy 4:10. That's why Paul, having described the rapture, told the Thessalonians to comfort one another with these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. We are under the power and protection of Jesus, our Savior. I believe this is all part of God's grace to us. He promised, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape." 1 Corinthians 10:13. Our Lord has designed a way to escape, a rescue, an evacuation for his people at the end of the age of the gospel of grace. We call it the rapture. In this way, the rapture is an extension of God's character. It reveals who he is and what he values. As the psalmist wrote, "He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." Psalm 18:19.
The Lord delights in his church, in his family. He delights in you. Yes, we suffer trouble and tribulation in this world, but God always makes a way of escape for us because he delights in us. His deliverance isn't just reserved for the rapture. He wants to deliver you right now from your anxiety about the future and from the worries that are crippling your life. This theme circulates throughout Psalm 34 like a springtime fragrance. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them of them all." That same one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivers us over and over from the perils of life, will deliver his church at the end of the age, evacuating us and airlifting us to safety before the onslaught of tribulation justice. Way to get that domain name.
Tribulation justice.
Yeah, it sounds good.
That's a good one.
In her book, Beyond the Storm, Deborah B. Morton describes what happened to her family during Hurricane Katrina. She said her 70-year-old dad and stepmom had been evacuated before the storm, but went back home afterwards thinking all was now safe. When the nearby levee gave way, the water began rising in his house. My father and stepmom, who was on dialysis, along with my stepsister, her husband, and their children, had to escape to the over 100-degree attic for 3 days to avoid drowning. There was nowhere to go. How could they let anyone know that they were trapped in the attic? The frightened little family could hear the chopping sound of helicopters above them, but they have no way of contacting their would-be rescuers. According to Deborah, one of the family members finally managed to open a small hole in the roof, just big enough to push a broken compact mirror through. My father told me he felt it in his heart when on that third day the rescue saw that little mirror reflection. He was right, they did, and the family was rescued on the third day. There was something about that third day, Deborah said, just like the resurrection story.
Now our Lord will not need for us to knock a hole in the roof and flash a mirror at him. He knows where we are, every one of us at every moment. He rose on the third day to deliver us into his eternal kingdom, and he's coming to rescue us before the levee breaks and the flood of judgment washes over the earth.
Love never fails. You know, it reminds me of that scripture. For now we see only as a reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For I know in part now, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. God loves us, he delights in us. He wants to rescue us. Are you ready for the rescue? All you have to do, and it isn't poking the hole in the roof and surviving in a 100-degree attic for 3 days. Just reach out to God right now and admit that you're a sinner. If you believe that he died for your sins, then you're forgiven, and he died on that cross for a reason once and for all. He ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God, but he left the Holy Spirit for us so that we could have him inside of us until he comes again. The three in one, the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. God the Son and the Holy Spirit, all three in one. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful author, Dr. David Jeremiah. We thank you for his inspiration to tell and to carry this message as far as he possibly can, without reservation, for the greater purpose of bringing more souls to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this author. We thank you for this book and for this night together and for this podcast and all that are listening and that will listen. We ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you.